Big upgrades for 24 hospitals next year. This is a $644 million boost. It will allow hospitals to treat COVID patients without interrupting other services. 75 new beds, 355 beds being converted to ISO or negative pressure environments, 23 new ICO beds and 8 other ICO conversions. Health Minister Andrew Little, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
This all feels Johnny-come-lately, these upgrades. Why haven't they taken place before now?
Look, it takes a while for hospitals to identify what spaces they've got, what they can and convert into safe spaces for negative pressure rooms. Then they've got to cost them out, line up the people to do the construction. So, yeah, and along with managing vaccination campaigns, the standing sort of responses to COVID patients, they've done all this. We've got the bids in now, we've made some decisions, and we can get some upgrades underway now. It'll take 6 months or so for this all to be put in place, but it does mean that hospitals treating COVID patients won't have the care for non-COVID patients disrupted in the way that we've seen in the last few outbreaks.
Ideally, though, would you concede this should have been done earlier?
Look, in terms of the way hospitals have responded to COVID and the range of priorities they've got, in addition, also catching up with deferred procedures and what have you, surgeries that have been put off last year and this year, the range of things they're doing, this is as fast as they could go to get these projects in a fit state to put in a bid, get the funding, get them lined up, get them ready to go. In an ideal world, it might have happened a little earlier, but look, this is the best that we've got.
You see, obviously people will be thinking of the ICU capacity, and we've got these 23 new intensive care beds as part of this package. Once again, why aren't these already in place?
The initial response from the hospitals was to understand that the care that COVID patients needed was different to other kind of intensive care patients, patients with major sort of traumas. And so in August last year, the main response was to look at the range of beds that are available to do intensive level care, make sure there is enough staff with enough training, don't have to be fully ICU trained, but enough training to provide that level of care. But the reality is, when you look at the track record, the numbers of patients going into ICU have been actually way lower than ever expected, and actually than what's happening in other countries.
There's good luck, though, is it not?
It's largely a reflection of some of the early treatment that we're giving patients in New Zealand that hasn't been the same in other countries. So the early treatment that patients turning up to hospital, needing hospital-level care are getting, means many are prevented from having to go into ICU care. So that's a reflection on our health professionals and the care that they're given.
A couple of quick things. We're hearing from some rural hospitals saying they feel totally overlooked in this package.
This does cover off some provincial and rural hospitals, but the way the hospitals have worked it up is that not every hospital will take COVID patients. In some cases, patients will be transported to a nearer and slightly larger hospital because they are more likely to have the capacity to provide the care that's needed.
Boosters, Andrew, when can we expect an update?
Fairly soon. I mean, the booster program is well underway. We're seeing, you know, pretty good numbers each day coming through. I mean, I think there's going to be some advice about whether you need to wait the full 6 months or whether you can go a little earlier.
Why don't we just follow Australia? Go 5 months.
Yeah, look, I'm reliant on what our clinicians here say. They are working on that at the moment. I think you should expect advice on that in the next few days.
Andrew Little, thank you very much for your time.